Welcome to The Ether. Today is Friday, April 29th, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Orbital Command. Have you heard of TDX? Listen, Orbital Command is putting together the Terra DAP Expo on June 9th and 10th in Austin, Texas. Not Boston. I know, that's what I thought. Austin. Austin, Texas. Come get doxxed IRL and share merriments with all of your favorite fellow lunatics and lunatics. For more information, go to terradapexpo.com or hit the menu item on the site right here on terraspaces.org. And as always, be sure to check out Orbital Command online at orbitalcommand.io. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. For more information, check out terraspaces.org/sponsors. Today on the Ether, Terabytes Emergency Good Vibes NFT Space. Let's take a listen.
Hey there, Mo. Thank you for joining. I'm going to be waiting for people to come in, but if you want to come up for a speaker, feel free to request.
Hey, thanks, guys, for joining. We're going to wait a couple minutes and let everyone join, and then we'll get down to business. I think there's a few things going on it's important to talk about. I think it's important we respond to this now, and we will be doing some follow-up information later this weekend with, I think, a lot of the Terra NFT projects, it seems like.
Yeah, exactly what Hank said. Tonight there have been some rather interesting situations unfolding with LuArt. And we feel that it's important to talk about these things, especially in the moment that they're happening. Hey, buddy, thank you for joining. Hey, everyone, thank you for joining. Hey, Sace.
What's up, bro? It's Sachi, by the way.
Oh, sorry
no,
about
no, no,
that.
You're good, great you're to good, meet you. I get it a lot.
We wanted to get the. Sorry, I just wanted to get everyone together here. I don't know if everyone has been informed about what's going on, but I imagine that people are here because of what's happening with the LuArt situation. There has been some serious allegations against the LuArt team. The entire minting process has been like kind of drawn into question. And there were some transactional histories that confirmed that one of the LuArt employees has been adding addresses to the mint post the actual NFT team sending those whitelisted addresses to the actual minting event. And this has resulted in basically several addresses to be repeatedly doing this on all of the mints leading up to January. And this stuff has been kind of revealed. This has been revealed through just address analysis of all of the different mints that have occurred on the LuArt market. And this was done via confirming with the anarchist team. The anarchist team's mint has kind of identified which addresses were being basically put onto the list post the actual minting list being sent by the team. And the amount of money that is actively in those accounts, it's about like $2 million. And it's a significant amount of liquidity that has been kind of absorbed from this minting event. There hasn't been a comment from the LuArt team after this discoverment. I know that there was that official statement. However, it seems like that there was a lot of defense there put in the fact that there may have been mishandling by a specific employee. Sachi, I know that you wanted to join and discuss this. What are your thoughts about this?
It's a lot, bro. It's a lot to take in. It's hard to trust anyone. We need to have a lot of concrete proof before we start pointing fingers at everyone. Like, I know we have a lot of profiles that are tracking wallets and having threads of the proof. We have to make sure if you have your suspicions, it's good, like, be suspicious, but you need to have concrete proof before we come out, because this is a lot of people are starting to look bad and we're starting to wonder who's legit now. Like, there's only a few legit people, so we need to make sure we have everyone accounted for. And I think it's just really accountability. Projects and marketplaces should let the audience know about their goals and their morals, because LuArt is like kind of flip-flopping, changing their stance a lot, and it's just not looking good for the community as a whole. It looks untrustworthy.
I totally agree. And I think you couldn't have used a better word to end that sentence with untrustworthy. And that's really, in my opinion, the whole reason that this was even supposed to happen. It's, I'm building open source NFT tooling right now, and this kind of stuff is the things that I'm thinking about when I'm building. And this isn't normal, like, to devs and stuff. Like, the idea of having a decentralized thing, like a decentralized marketplace, and then having this, like, almost custodial mint process where someone has, they're taking your whitelist, your everything, they're doing it for you. That's not how NFTs should work. They're decentralized, trustless, permissionless sometimes. And so I think that we as a community need to be more cautious about what we are doing when we're minting this. Like, what steps are in place to prevent this from happening? Currently in the ecosystem, there are a few really good projects. Like, One Planet has put decentralization as a priority. I haven't heard of any other rugs happening like they're happening on LuArt. So
that's what I'm saying, bro. There needs to be competition in the marketplaces, so stuff like this can't happen. Because if there's one leader in the marketplace, they could really govern themselves accordingly, and they could add whitelists, they could insider trade, they could give themselves one-on-ones like we are seeing right now, because there's really no competition. But now there's One Planet, so hopefully they could market themselves correctly and really let the audience know what they're about, and people could like boycott LuArt and say, hey, you guys don't want to listen to our voice, you don't want to like do it the correct way, we're going to go to One Planet and you guys won't to have our business anymore.
I just see the trickle of of information that has happened. I know that the initial event that kind of triggered all of this to really happen was a suspicion of a whitelist compromisation for the Terra and the Terra aliens, and that was started and sparked by the LuArt team. Like, the LuArt team was the one that admitted that there was a potential compromise and that they were starting the investigations, the internal investigations. And it was about 4 hours later when the first expose thread, and that first expose thread was coming from the Terra BS tracker, new account. Obviously, that account was probably created with this event in mind. It's just really interesting to see that after that first expose thread that went through the blockchain, identified that there was a single account that was belonging to Aston and was receiving a lot of different NFTs from supposed cousins and whatever. But it's just interesting to see how the actual blockchain itself is unraveling this little elaborate path. And now with the information that's coming out from the anarchist team, kind of confirming that it wasn't just a singular individual behind this, that's just worrisome, because that begs the question, is this systemic or is this not systemic? Is it just a collective few, or was this truly just, at a certain point, I do want to give LuArt the benefit of the doubt. Maybe there was just a grotesque oversight on Aston's part, but maybe that's a hopeful side of me. I don't know.
Bro, I can tell you now, they're doing damage control. If they wouldn't have got caught,
exactly,
silent. They only put out a statement because they had to, because they'll lose money. Because
they got caught.
Yeah, they don't. They're not really worried about the real community.
And we need to stop giving the benefit of a doubt, because it just stops there, and then they're not held accountable. When we're like, oh, we give them the benefit of a doubt, then they're like, okay, good, we made it, we're safe, we're, you know, we're clear. Nah, you got to keep pressuring them, you know? Pressure until they crack.
I do agree. I agree with you. I mean, to a certain point, like, I mean, it was obvious. Like, today this morning, I remember when I got up and started compiling all the news for the NFT Weekly News, shamelessly plugging the Terra TV content there. But when I was getting up this morning to like check in on the situation, I was just like, okay, Luart still hasn't made a comment. Like, Luart still hasn't made a comment. They literally actually went to an extent of saying, hey, by the way, we're starting a mint today. Our mint is live right now. And they hadn't said anything. Like, there was no comment. There was nothing. Like, they had just, like, acting like nothing had happened.
The mentality is smile and wave, boys. Smile and wave. And they'll forget about it.
And it does beg the question. It does beg the question, why was the mint just kind of continued and no one asked questions? Like, why? Hedy Murphy, thank you for joining.
Yeah, it was very interesting. May have seen my thread today a little bit about it, but I guess my biggest concern here is Luart is they're being, you know, reactive versus proactive. So they're now responding to community members digging into, you know, blockchain transactions and all of this, but they're not really doing a proactive investigation to come out and be transparent. I mean, as you saw, DeployDon came out with, you know, 38 wallets. That's almost $1.9 million. And I actually just created another thread a couple minutes ago. First time creating one was today, but I've got two today. But, you know, the big thing is, I don't know if everyone realizes the power that they have. I mean, I've been in the IT industry for, you know, 20 plus years, and, you know, they have all these analytics and tools and privileged access to all of this data to be able to really do predictive analytics to really figure out what mint is going to be successful or not. And if they already are whitelisted, they're basically printing money. They can guarantee their money back. And I can only envision just a little group chat to where they say, okay, green light, everybody of these 38 people go mint. And then, hey, this is the optimal time to sell it on the secondary market to get our money back. And it's just complete insider trading. It's unethical. It's just bad. And I spent a good 30 minutes on Luart's Discord general chat, you know, an hour ago, going back and forth with one of the team members. And they just had this entitled attitude that, hey, we put in all the work on this project, and, you know, yes, we got a whitelist, but so what? That's what the industry does, and that's what the other marketplaces do, and we deserved it, in a sense. I mean, they didn't say the word deserved, but that's the sense I got from it. And I guess the troubling thing for me is it's you get a paycheck, okay? So, you know, a project pays for services. The employees get a paycheck. That's all you're entitled to. I even joked with the guy. I said, I mean, is it in the employee handbook that you'll be given whitelists? Because this is where this is looking like to me, that they have so much power. And, you know, I mean, I work in a highly regulated industry, and like, if I get a gift card from a vendor for $25, I have to report it, and if it's over $25, I can get fired if I accept it. So they're getting these whitelists, which, you know, I understand there's a risk in minting and being able to sell it, but I think Luart having the data and the analytics and all the you know, the tools to tell them who's on their site and what at what time, where's peak volume, all this stuff. In a sense, to me, it's just a money printer for them. And all they're doing is responding to people digging. And unfortunately, I don't think it's done.
To me, it sounds like, hey, we did it first. Don't be mad because we did it and you're not doing it. And essentially, they're double dipping. They're having their cake and eating it too. I mean, that's not fair for the community who grind for whitelist. You know, they spend, you know, minutes, hours grinding for a whitelist. Yeah, it's just, it's ridiculous.
Hey, Jay, I have a question, bro. So, like, with your experience minting your project on Luart, can you say their practices are kind of obsolete by not having multi-sig wallet? Like, it leaves opportunity for people to do shady stuff with other launch pads. Like, they don't practice the same, like, wallets and security and just like the smart contract side.
As far as that, I didn't get nothing. Like, I mean, there is, you know, there is an opportunity to still, you know, bypass their verification, but ultimately it comes down to Aston approving or rejecting a project to launch. I mean, with me, I kept it simple. Reserve these NFTs for the giveaways, and that's it. The rest, you know, it's randomized. You know, I kept it no BS, no games, simple, nothing for them, nothing for me, nothing for the team. It's just simple. Reserve these 12 token, which is our NFTs, for the giveaways, and that's it. And the rest gets minted out. I kept it very simple. Once it starts to get complicated when they start reserving for treasury or for, you know, for this partner and this partner and this partner, that's where it can get tricky, and then it can get confusing for people to do their research on it. Me, I kept it simple. 12 were reserved, 12 were given away, rest were minted out.
Yeah. I don't know if everyone in here has seen Fenrir Twitter. He also has the wallet addresses tracked, and it shows that Ashton said on Luart's statement, they said Ashton was giving his cousins some whitelist spots. But I don't know about you guys. I don't know who has 20 cousins.
Yeah, and it begs the question of, like, his cousins were capable of obtaining whitelist spots.
20 rich cousins,
to
that is.
Transact. Hank, I wanted to ask you about, like, from a developer perspective. Hank is he's on the Terabytes team. From a developer perspective, I know you're building open source tooling for, like, NFT minting. What are solutions there for, like, projects to kind of rely on? Like, what from a developer perspective can be created to kind of, like, help create more integrity in terms of marketplaces?
Yeah, so gonna plug my own product. It's not really much of a product for me, but for you guys, it's all free. I don't make any money off of it. I wrote the code, and it'll be coming out. I mean, I'm gonna make this a priority to come out ASAP now, because it's a way for you to launch an NFT collection with all of these features that they offer, and it's free and decentralized. You do this stuff, and it's no code. You don't hand off your whitelist to a developer. You don't, for them to go manually do it. I wrote the code so that you guys can do it with a UI. One Planet is also a very similar project. But yeah, they're not permissionless, but they do this too. They it's all automated. It's all on the blockchain. It's all visible. We can all see this as it's happening. You don't have to trust Luart ever, because you just do it yourself. Everyone can trust themselves. So this is the vision for NFTs that I see for Terra. And I think it's needed now more than ever.
That's a great idea, bro. And it's stuff like that we need from the community all coming together, adding one feature here, one feature there, adopting it each time to each project. And it just grows to become this insane project with the trajectory only going up.
Exactly. And this helps create, like, trust in the communities that, like, Terra is a tiny NFT ecosystem compared to everything else. Like, we're very fortunate that this happened now when we're small and we can do things to recover it. One Planet, who I've mentioned a lot, I think they're, like their model just really shines right now. I'm not affiliated with them at all, or they do sponsor the NFT video that I'm a part of, but we don't see any money from that. But they do have they just solve these issues, and this is something that, like, it's like DeFi, dude. Like when you use decentralized money, you would never go back to centralized money. When you use a decentralized launchpad, you'd never go back to a centralized launchpad. It just takes away the stuff, like, and shit. Fees on Luart, like 20 to 30%. That's robbery, dude. Like, this is a thing of the past, in my opinion. Like,
yeah, you're just paying for the name, and now what is the name worth?
Yeah, it's all in attention, and that is something that is important to projects. Like, this is how you form communities. If you just, like, give it away to whoever, like, there's a reason that the, like, whitelist grind model has succeeded, because we want to form communities that people care to be a part of. And if we can't, if it requires trusting a bunch of people, that just becomes so much more difficult, and it puts so many barriers in our way to be able to, like, grow to the size of Solana, ETH, to flip them. This is required infrastructure, in my opinion. And it's great that, like, One Planet is helping de-rug these projects. There's, like, multiple ways this could be done. We could talk about, like, taking wallets from, like, tracking which of these wallets we need to do confirmation on chain. And I think this is an important time for governance in NFTs that we haven't had before, really. We can grab these wallet addresses from this on-chain analysis, and we can find which tokens they received. And it's actually possible. We can remint the collection, transfer over, block those addresses as a community. This should be done in governance. This should be done in on-chain governance as a community. And yeah, we can essentially derug these projects, and we can give these back to the communities like we saw with Skeleton Punks.
That's a great idea. Because on the last live, I was talking about we need some governance from the community. We need to make a Twitter or a small group where we're fact-checking these wallets and the insider trading, because there's no one they're governing themselves. So if they're getting pushback, they could decide, oh, this isn't enough pushback. We could just mint and whatever. It will blow over. Give it a few weeks. Or they could say, oh, we need to make a statement on this, like damage control, like they did for Ashton. But they're not really trying to fix the problem. They're just trying to ease your mind so you mint the next project. But we really need some sort of delegation where we have a small community that is like rep people that actually know what's going on, and we could come to an agreement together and, like, decide if we should tell the community this isn't something you want to do, or we should do this, because we really have no sort of direction. And if we could really start a movement and have everyone not mint on Luart and go to One Planet or just anything, because we need some sort of competition, or they're just going to keep on doing the same thing.
I have also something to mention. It's probably off topic, but it is kind of related to Luart. I personally spoke to Frex, founder of Skeleton Punks. I'm neutral on the situation. I know that might shock some people, but I mean, can't always believe what you know, what you hear. He showed me receipts, lots of, you know, logs, comments, and chat. So he's trying to get something, a thread together that also includes Luart. And I just want to say that it might be get interesting, but he does want to be, he wants Skeleton Punks back, you know, because that's his baby. And, you know, hopefully with the information that he releases, you know, it can open the door to possibly getting Skeleton Punks back. I'm not sure, because I know there's I know somebody donated, like, the money that he apparently stole, which he didn't. He showed me a screenshot of where it's at. The funds are still there, earning interest, you know. Just wanted to throw that out there that, you know, he's preparing to release a thread on his behalf, And yeah, that's I'm curious to see how, you know, the community is going to react to that and to Luart's part in giving the project to somebody else.
I hate that the minting, like, this entire situation was just, I hate to just beat a broken record at this point, but the reality is that the centralization of the minting process was what let this happen and facilitate. And it's horrible to kind of just see how the so-called recovery plan is just to scapegoat a singular employee. I don't think we have like a proven without for a 100% fact that anyone else on the Luart team was involved. But the evidence and the information that keeps coming out is just, it's just astounding. And it implies that there were many more people involved beyond just the Luart team. It's just super interesting to kind of be able to just observe this kind of behavior when decentralization is so heavily preached on the DeFi side of things. Because, like, I mean, I know that the vast majority of DeFi is just all about how governance is just a meme, but everyone is creating different kinds of vote locked escrows type style voting that will help kind of enhance that stuff. I just think that it's interesting how the decentralized component is so firm on the DeFi side. And on the NFT side, it still seems to kind of be a thing that's lagging.
Decentralized money needs decentralized assets, and decentralized assets need decentralized marketplaces. And I think that's really what we're seeing here. And I'm, Solo G, thank you for bringing up Brex. And I just messaged him, actually. Joseph on the Terabytes account told me what you said, and I'm organizing a roundtable with Galactic Punks for this weekend, and the Legionnaires, an upcoming project that I've had a lot of these like decentralization conversations with, like their main artist David. Yeah, and I would love everyone to come, and this is, I think, kind of a way that we can figure out what happens. And I'm. Yeah, like, let's get all the projects there. Let's get One Planet in there. Let's figure out how to solve this, because this is a danger to Terra NFTs as a whole. Like, $2 million of, like, we need to do this on-chain analysis as well and be certain that this is happening.
And it's not even 2 mil. Like, it's not even just 2 mil. That is, 2 mil is, like, represented in liquid, like, capital assets. Or not liquid necessarily, but just capital assets. That's what the ape board is calculating. That's not factoring in unclaimed or claimed NFTs, like NFTs that are just in NFTs.
They're
like,
also getting salary for each launch. So,
yeah, I think there's definitely more to it, and we definitely scratched the surface. And it's gonna be interesting the next days, week, maybe even weeks, on what surfaces.
The Terra blockchain is so new and, like, young for the NFT scene, and it's important that we develop the D app side and have more real life utility that can stop this. I know it's kind of hard to materialize and just say it in a few words because it's a lot more confusing and technical than that, but this is what we need kind of as this community if we want to grow and really reach those ETH and SOL levels and overtop them. We need this so we could grow. It's like, no, nothing only goes up. We have to have a little few waves, choppy roads. But as long as we come together as a community, talk about it, stay on the same page, I think we could really, like, grow past this, because this is awesome, guys. I think this is just dope that we're all on the same page and we want to help lunatics. Like, this is what lunatics are all about.
I agree with you fully. I think that there is a component to this that that the way that the NFT scene has been kind of cultivating and growing on Terra, it's been counterintuitive. It like, while DeFi has been preaching this whole DeFi thing, the NFT scene has kind of been doing their own stuff, where it's been a very consolidated effort with Luart kind of continuing up. And I think a lot of people kind of played a blind eye with the model that Luart was doing, specifically because of, like, they had an interesting tokenomic structure. They had an interesting value prop.
And we kind of gave the benefit of doubt that there was an there was a good orchestrating body there. But it happened, and it has been admitted, it has been confirmed that Aston was kind of compromised, and he kind of created that entire situation for different accounts to be listed. And well, that's as far as what the entire Luart team is claiming. But I wanted to hit a little bit on that note about how, since we wanted to become this like burgeoning ecosystem, like if we want to come up to compete the liquidity wars and the liquidity situation that Ethereum has, if we want to even make a fraction of that, we can't forget about how much liquidity the entire Ethereum NFT market cap represents. Like without the NFT scene blowing up on Ethereum, that chain would not have seen as much of an influence and influential success of DeFi. I do think that both of them mutualistically benefited from each other. But I do think that the DeFi hype would not have been fueled without the NFT community. And I think that this goes back to your point, Sachi, is that the NFT community is essential to the growth of the entire blockchain that is Terra. Solana is growing because of like that like trading. And Ethereum is growing because of that trading for NFTs. And it's just a fact of the matter that there is a culture there, and that a blockchain doesn't succeed without that form of culture within the communities.
It just looks so bad, bro. It looks so untrustworthy that we have Ashton's wallet. It has like a lot of money in it, a lot of one of ones. Like he got exposed. And then you could go back on his later tweets and talking to people saying, "Oh, bro, I'm in such financial ruin. My laptop is broken. I'm working on a broken laptop. I have student loans." So, like, I understand it, bro. Everyone has issues in their life. But now you were, like, kind of baiting it. So, I know. I mean, what were you baiting it for? Likes? Like, you already are getting one-on-ones, NFTs, backdoors, a salary. It just doesn't make sense to me. And it just looks so bad. And now Luar is doing the damage control. It's just like, I don't know what to think.
I mean, he was complaining about a broken laptop while he also had a Genesis Wolf one of one listed for 460 Luna. So, you know, I mean, how bad was the situation?
Yeah, bro. It's like, come on. Like, you think we're dumb? It's kind of just like, you guys, like, you think we're that dumb? Like, come on, we're lunatics. We know a little something.
And if you hadn't paid attention, he actually just delisted that Genesis Wolf today and transferred it to Jay at Genesis Wolf. So it was listed this morning. He minted Unstables because he had his whitelist, and then a couple hours later he transferred that NFT. So that's kind of his mentality there.
Yeah. Another thing I want to add in there about Luart there. And Luart is, or what they care about is money. Like, so you probably remember they are giving like 100 whitelist spots for Hellhounds to their leaderboard. Basically, the bunch of whales there, what they did was to buy their token to be come up to the leaderboard, top 100. So the thing was behind them. Like, so when the whales buy the tokens to try to come in top 100, their bag's gonna pump up on Luart token. So the same day, the Luart token pumped like 40% or something. So they probably unloaded some of the tokens and stuff and benefited from the stuff. On the other hand, like, people were struggling to get Hellhound whitelist spots. And there you go, like, they were giving like 100 whitelist spots to a bunch of random whales. Like,
is this confirmed confirmed transactional history that those addresses did dump Luart tokens strategically?
I mean, they probably did. Like, that was a thing behind them. Like, I'm just assuming they're like,
okay, you're just like assuming that there's a possibility. I just want to make sure that like while I do want to recognize that something shady is happening, I think we have to be careful what we, I mean, would it surprise me personally? No, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. But I don't, like, overtly claim that they had dumped the token.
No, I mean, like, if they didn't dump it as well, like, but at least they could have given some of the sparse to the community, like instead of giving like the whole 100 sparse to people on the top 100, like on their leaderboard, like which is kind of unfair. Like,
I think what you're saying is it's basically a recipe for a pump and dump. We're not saying it actually happened, but there's a decent possibility that it did.
Even if it's not pump and dump, like, you know, they gave, like, you know, 100 spots to their own people, like, you know, Wales or some random people on their leaderboard, instead of giving some of the spots to community to giveaways or some other contests and stuff.
It's just greed, bro. This is what we could see in our real life and take this and have this a valuable lesson when we're just in life in general, is when you start being successful and you start making more and you're getting exposure, getting more deals and stuff, like, you shouldn't want to have your hand in every single pot of the way. You shouldn't need the launch fee, 20%. That's already large. You shouldn't have extra NFTs for the community, 20 wallets. That's too much. You shouldn't have one of one NFTs. That's not fair. You shouldn't be listing them. You shouldn't, like, you shouldn't have a Luart token. It's like a gamified system where they're only benefiting. And it's going to blow up in their face. You have your hand in every single pot. That's not what you're meant for.
Yeah. And even they were denying, you know, during the Lunita Mint, like, I told one of the tweets, I replied to Ashton. I was saying, like, you know, there was bots and stuff. And your man goes, like, there's no bots. We tested and everything, like, and what thing happened, like, the next week, like, the Hellhounds thing came in and there was, like, bots and whole lot of shit show, like, and the bots team, basically the group who was behind it, like, they end up having, like, you know, the one of the one for Hellhounds, like, they are still listed the thing now for, I think, 11,000 or something, Luna, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, bro, the sad part is the Hellhounds whitelist was actually overbooked. So why do we think it was overbooked now? There's 20 extra wallets. Like, it's pretty sad to think 20 people missed out on a chance to mint Hellhounds just because Luart team got a backdoor without any work. It's really upsetting. It ruins the whole point of whitelist.
Yeah, absolutely. And the response from Hellhound teams, like, about Aston, they were saying, like, we all know, like, Aston have very bad, I mean, his situation is not good, like, he's poor and stuff. I mean, like, that's not a reply, like, you know, everyone knows, like, what his situation is, like, he's selling, like, NFTs for, like, 400 Luna's listing and stuff, and he have one of ones, like, how come, like, he can't afford laptops and tuition fees? Ridiculously.
And I believe we have the co-founder of the Anarchist team joining us. I believe you are the person that kind of revealed the data that has identified the 28 accounts, the 28 addresses that were listed on several different mints since January. Thank you so much for joining. I'm sorry that I do not know your name, but thank you for founding.
Yeah, I mean, I just started seeing some of the tweets where we're basically being accused as being that Terra BS guy that came out. We're being yelled at for that, and I kind of wanted to pop in to kind of clear a few things up here. We're obviously not that group. They kind of started exposing some of the things that have been going on. And we, as a group that kind of dealt with Luart and kind of leading up to the launch, who've firsthand experienced a lot of this stuff, I personally reached out to their CEO weeks ago, kind of outlining that there are some bad actors in that company and some things need to be done because it's hurting Luart's image as a whole and it's hurting the Terra NFT space as a whole. And it's obviously not something we want. We set out to kind of expose some of the stuff that's been going on in no means for any of our own personal gain. Like at the end of the day, we're all part of the same space here. And if something hurts the space as a whole, as one of the big marketplaces that we had a lot of faith in, it hurts everybody. Like people are saying, oh, you know, this is because you guys didn't mint out. This is because whatever the case is. And I want to make that very clear. There's nothing to do with us as a whole. We were just mainly kind of exposing what we saw come out of it to kind of back up what's already been going on. And I started digging into these addresses just to see, because I saw, I think it was the Lunita whitelist had like 58 or 59 added that they didn't. So out of curiosity, I kind of dug into ours and found those 28 addresses. And it seems that they've been very active since January as well. So
there was a possibility brought up by 0x.eth. I mean, it makes sense. I don't think we have the confirmed data, but I wanted to get your take on it. There is a distinct possibility that the Luart token was strategically dumped. And I wondered, is there any kind of transactional metadata analysis that could confirm that all these addresses waited for Luart tokens to like increase in value, and then they all dumped and sold, and that's how they were able to accumulate so much capital?
I haven't dug in that far. I didn't even intend to do that digging. I kind of got super caffeinated and kind of sidetracked and digging into it to see what was going on. I might tomorrow kind of backdate through all the history of those addresses just to kind of get a tally of what they've minted. I haven't dug into anything on the Luart side directly related to those coins, but like I said, it's very unfortunate. We had high hopes for Luart in terms of what they were delivering on and what they were set to deliver on. So I would dig in further and we'll go from there, but it's kind of crazy that there are some people who are claiming they're behind hidden accounts, and they're trying to actively call us out, claiming that we're starting all this because of something related to our own project, but that's not the case.
Can I ask you, like, what do you think their intent was with these 28 wallets? Like, who are these people to Luart, and what are they trying to do?
The intent is obvious, right? Obvious. You see how much money these addresses
are. They want more USD. They want stripper dollars.
Yeah, they're trying to buy some of those Luna Force ones.
Yeah, and Deploydon, I just wanted to really thank you. Like, as a member of the Lunatic community, this is the kind of work that, like, it really helps us, like, get better. Like, this there's a reason we're using a blockchain for all of this. It's a public ledger of records. We want to see what people are doing because it holds people accountable, and we need to be able to count on the community to be able to do that. So if there's any devs in here listening, like, one, I would love to, like, review that, see, like, independent review stuff so we can trust all of this. Like, I think that's very important first, as a first step, is to not make, like, a knee-jerk reaction. Like, I trust your stuff, but there's a reason we're using a blockchain for all this stuff. So yeah, like, let's, as a community, validate this. Let's do some real governance here. Let's figure out the ways that this works before, like, while we're still small and we can set a model for the future.
Yeah, this whole situation would be one thing if this happened just for one mint, just for one project. But seeing as this has been dating back all the way to January, and those 28 addresses I found are only ones based off data I had access to. I've since making that post, other people have DM'd me offering me their whitelist to basically analyze what has been submitted to Luart based off that and kind of seeing what discrepancies are there. But just glancing at these addresses, I can see they've been whitelisted on numerous other projects, have minted numerous other projects, and have been heavily active in the marketplace itself. So it's very difficult for people to come out and saying, oh, you know, you're making decisions or you're attacking people based off mistakes. There is no mistake here. Nobody accidentally did this. Nobody accidentally made all these addresses and minted all these NFTs and sold them. Like, there's no accident here. This is clear intent.
Yeah.
And it wasn't done by one person either. I can tell you that much.
And see, and that's why we decided to, like, get this space pulled together. I mean, let's face it, Hank and I are just some interns at the Terabytes team, and we realized that this was happening. And we're like, this is obscene. This is crazy. Like, from an integrity perspective, it's like we wanted to remain non-biased. Like, we, as, like, a media persona, we wanted to, like, not seem like we were assuming. Obviously, we had our own opinions of the situation. But with the exploit of data that came out from Deploydon and the analysis of truly of it, just kind of just I mean, flat out, letting the blockchain speak for itself, that lets us kind of create these platforms to be able to talk about this. But Hank, I know you meant you were intending for this to kind of be expanded upon. I know that you're in talks with like several other teams. What's the kind of the plan for the future on what we can do to kind of handle this stuff and to like make sure that we're growing from this? Because like Solos, I love your guys' art. Your guys have been amazing. I minted on your guys' platform and I loved it. And I just hate to see that like great art is being compromised. So I just want to make sure that these projects keep going, keep accomplishing their visions, because we're all here to raise USD.
Yeah. So I have one opinion on this. This should be done as a community as well. I propose that we all come together, over the next couple of days. I think this on-chain analysis part is very important. We need proof. This isn't a like witch hunt. We don't just burn people at the stake at like random stuff. People put real effort into this. Let's put real effort into real governance in this situation. We have an awesome opportunity here. While Terra is still small, while this is possible, there will be a day that Terra NFTs are so big that this is not feasible. And we want to have the groundwork put in place to have this these systems. And I think that, yeah, we're an awesome community here. And I love the Terra NFT community. And this makes me sick because this is like threatening all of this. I put so much work personally into Terra NFTs. And I've put a lot of thought into governance and decentralization as a whole. And to see people get just wrecked by this, it fucking sucks. And I want to make sure that this never happens again.
Yeah, I do like how Luard is transitioning to more of a voting process in order to see which projects get listed. I think it's, I guess, more decentralized that way than one person that kind of holds all the power and kind of makes demands and kind of clearly takes backdoor deals for doing so, right? So I think they as a platform are kind of taking the right steps, but you're right. I think it's good that things kind of came out now while the whole space is kind of relatively small, and it could be a lot worse. I mean, it's very bad as is, but I think with the group that's involved and the kind of community that we all have, like, I think we're going to recover from this pretty quickly. And I do hope to see one day Luart operating. I don't want to see them die. Like, they are a massive pillar of kind of what's been going on. I keep saying like they have been a great platform. It's just a couple bad actors have been kind of spoiling what's been going on. So I do think one day that'll be recovered. And yeah, and sorry, I'm a little jittery. I've had way too much coffee and not enough sleep the last couple of days.
I think we could start with marketplaces. The workers in the marketplace should not be able to mint, like, even in public. They definitely shouldn't be getting whitelists for free, no grind, because it's a conflict of interest, because they have all of the data. They know if it's going to sell out. They could predict the floor price. They could predict kind of the price of the NFTs, and they're already getting paid pre-mint and post-mint. So I think it should just be a flat rate. They shouldn't be able to mint. Obviously, this is decentralized. They can make other wallets and public mint. Like, we won't be able to tell because we won't be able to know who that wallet is tied to. But at least start from there with the previous wallets we already have and make sure they're not having any more activity. Like, he's minting unstables today. He shouldn't be doing that. Like, it's already bad, bro. Come on, just take a break. And I just want to say, like, I mutually respect all of the influencers in here and developers and programs, because you guys really have a lot of sleepless hours and are dedicating this to lunatics. And it's just, I think we should go as a community and make these small decisions that we're able to identify if a team is really for us as far as their integrity. And then we could go from there and just constantly adapt to it and grow together as a family.
I had a suggestion, and it might be overkill, but you know how CoinHaul has live transactions of people who sell or buy? What if we do live transactions on like an NFT marketplace? We can see this wallet bot 10 within like 2 seconds, like, okay, that's a bot for sure. Maybe overkill and maybe useless, but I mean, that's an idea as well.
Look at DeLorean protocol. Like, they have really good like requirements that can show like full layer one NFT transactions and bots. It kind of prevents that already. So I'm not really a developer side, so I couldn't really explain it more, but I could just say they're on the right path.
Okay, I got I think we're doing some really good shit here, which is cool. And like, I am a developer that's working on this. This is where my energy goes, is into building decentralized NFT minting on Terra. And what can I do for you? What do you guys want? How do we fix this? Like, this is my goal. Like, tell me what I can do. How can I help?
I think one thing I noticed in the default NFT contract, the CW721 contract, which was kind of scary. I was playing with this on the testnet the other day, and I noticed no projects actually use it actively right now. So back in November 2021, it was updated to have a burn mechanism. Now, in playing with this, it essentially allows the admin that initially deployed the contract to mint on demand, which is as expected. That's usually how these marketplaces work. They mint and have another contract that's kind of handling the purchases. But the burn function will allow that admin that minted that created that contract to burn any NFT just free for all, no control, like just basically burn it out of your wallet, out of existence. So I do think that contract initially needs locks in place where if the burn mechanism is there, it's a time lock where after X number of blocks, that burn function gets disabled, which would be useful for an initial mint where if something doesn't sell out and they want to burn the remaining supply, it can be done for up to X number of days after the fact. But that burn mechanism and an admin wallet should not be there indefinitely, especially in cases like marketplaces that are deploying these contracts on behalf of many different projects. What happens if the dev wallet gets exploited or someone takes that seed phrase, because I'm sure multiple devs from these marketplaces have access to the same deploying thing, it wouldn't take much for somebody to use that address to basically delete every NFT that's been minted in their control, right? And that's a very scary thing. So just doing my initial testing of that contract itself, there are some checks and balances that do need to be added. Thankfully, not really any projects are using the burn right now, but I know there have been talks of migrating to the upgraded contract, which will make all this possible. So something needs to be done in that regard almost immediately.
Yeah.
Okay. So that is done immediately. So I have this, I think I can't remember. I haven't looked, I have better contracts coming. So I have an open source NFT random mint distribution contract that's coming. And my whole goal is to just give people control over their own minting. I built a no code NFT collection configuration where you can launch your own collection in your own store pop-up front without writing a single line of code. It's all free. I don't take a dollar from this.
Is that public right now? I would love to see it.
Yeah, dude. My first time I was on a Twitter space is when you guys, we have some previous DMs if you go look up. You already have a link to it, actually. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, that's right. Yes. You were talking, it was almost like the candy machine of Solana.
Yep.
It was,
yeah.
Okay. So okay. That's right.
I was to finish that today, but then this shit happened.
I mean, perfect timing, I guess.
Well, not really. My girlfriend's, she's arriving from the airport. I need to leave here soon to go get her, and it's her birthday weekend, so.
Tell her some things are more important.
Yep.
Yeah.
NFT governance on Terra is more important.
Hey, Hank, can I slide in your DMs?
Yes, sir. Everyone all can. Right. If they're not open, I'll open them and try again.
I think two more things we could adopt, like, soon as possible, like, right now. Because a lot of people will be anticipating mint and they'll be ready. They'll wake up, they'll stay up all night to mint like hellhounds, and they'll miss out. And that's a big turnoff, especially when you see after you're losing the bots, it might make you not want to mint again, you know? And that's bad. Like, we don't want to lose lunatics. That's terrible. We need to have a soft whitelist through the Discord where if you're planning to mint, you have it open to like the day before mint or as long as they need, like hopefully as long as possible. And then soft whitelist is available for public only. Like you have to have your wallet submitted, and then you can have a actual queue when you're minting of how many people are minting whitelist. So you can kind of see what you're up against. That's pretty much it that I could think of right now we could adopt.
Okay, sick. Yeah. There's like one project I know of. I think they're like ETH based, but they're doing something like that, like a tool to like help build better whitelists. And so like with my tool that I built right now, it's I'll probably launch it like one of these next days or something and I'll tweet out about it. But so you can like there's no trust in the whitelist. Like this could happen because LuArt had control over the whitelist. And so on Bedrock that I'm building, and I believe on One Planet too, I haven't launched an NFT collection on there, so I couldn't tell you. But so you never have to give someone your whitelist. Like no one can change your whitelist that you're given. Like there's no trust involved is like the big goal of all of this.
Yeah, like right now the whitelist is like a Google Sheets form.
Yeah, I know. I helped a project do this, and oh my god, dude, it made me so upset with the way that Terra NFTs currently are. Just like seeing all of this trust required. We're on a blockchain. This is decentralized, trustless, permissionless. Like, yeah, those are my priorities. And what I'm building is open source. And like anyone can help contribute to this. There should be a way to like control who can, like, so the code stays good. But yeah, we can build this all together. Like, this is what I want.
I think it's great, bro. Developers are really going to lead this space and growth because they're the ones that create the competition. And the marketplaces need more competition. LuArt needs more competition. One Planet is looking like the next prospect. But we need more than two. Like, we need more than Random Earth. We need more than Talis. We need more than LuArt. We need multiples where they're all competing. So stuff like this can't happen. So if one project is doing this, they'll get completely boycotted, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like that's one response. Like, we should have these, like, we should not tolerate a NFT platform like just fucking rugging us. Like, as a community, we shouldn't tolerate that. But to do that, we need better options. And that's what we need to build. That's what we need to develop. We need to solve these problems together. We need to like think about these, have these kind of discussions. We need to have the time to build. And we need, I think the biggest thing for Terra and to prevent getting rugged is to have an expectation from a team to be transparent and to have an expectation from platforms to be permissionless, be trustless, be decentralized. That's what I see. Because that's just guaranteeing safety. It's great when you don't even have to have trust, and that's what these systems allow for.
If I'm mistaken, LuArt's the only marketplace that has their own governance token or has a token in general, right?
Yes, LuArt's the only platform with a token.
And their token is based off of voting, like a DAO, and then getting the utility behind it is boxes, I'm assuming, like NFT boxes, right?
Yeah, that's the utility for them, but the holding the token does not help. It does not help like them approve projects for minting. Projects minting was reserved for the team decision. They have changed since the publishing of the first statement, the statement before anarchists decided to rain ruin on the NFT community. Thanks a lot. But regardless, since that release, they haven't done anything. And who knows? I mean, genuinely, at this point, who knows what else is going to be emerged from all this?
Okay, guys, I really do have to go now. I'd love doing this talk. So let's do this more where I'm talking to all the projects in the space. Like, if you have a project, you want to be a part of this, DM me or something. We'll figure it out. We'll get you in.
Check your DMs, please, sir.
Yes, I will. Yeah, I'm about to go drive. But yeah, I'll check them later tonight.
For sure. Yeah, I'm going to look into that stuff tomorrow. But yeah, anything you need, let me know. We're all with you.
Sick.
Let's do this, guys. Appreciate you and all your hard work. Like, you're doing the Lord's work, man. Thank you.
Thanks for joining, Hank.
I got to get going as well. I've neglected a lot of work today to kind of do all this instead. So it's after 1 a.m. for me. I got to get up early and kind of finish all that off. But yeah, I mean, let's hope. Like, I actually really hope nothing more comes of this. I hope that we found everything there is to find and there's no other smoking guns. But I mean, at the end of the day, right, all eyes are on Luar right now. But for all we know, truthfully, this same behavior can be going on other marketplaces. So I think it is good that one at least has been exposed now. So I think people are going to be a little more diligent in what's happening behind the scenes in some of these other marketplaces. And maybe things don't take this long to come to light. So, yeah, I mean, nice talking to you all. I'll definitely make it a point to join any of the other spaces. But yeah, enjoy our nights and hopefully everything's for the best. I mean, I can't even form sentences right now. I'm so tired.
I'll take a shot for you, deployed on.
I just wanted to bring up Cash from here, coming over from the defense.
You know, I think there's something wrong with my Twitter spaces. Every time I'm a speaker, I can't hear what anyone is saying. I just want to drop in real quickly and say, for late night emergency good vibes, I heard a rumor that in the Terror DApp Expo in Austin, Texas, there's going to be a pillow fight. I'm just going to say I heard a rumor somewhere.
Exclusive. But we're dropping an NFT for the people that pillow fight.
I'll be there. Come say hi, guys. I'll be in Texas June 9th and 10th.
Okay, but thank everyone for coming on. I think at this point we've been going on for an hour and been a most productive hour that the NFT scene has seen. I'm glad that you guys got to meet Hank, one of the interns over at the Terabytes team and or the Bytes Digital Group. Sorry, Hank, or Evan's gonna kill me if he hears me saying terabytes anymore. But regardless, we're here to help the community. We're here to help the community grow. We want to make sure that everyone's good. And let's just wait and hope that this is the end of what is going on with Luart. I hope that we can move on and grow from this and actually build some infrastructure that benefits everyone from here. And seriously, we are going to be in Austin. We're going to be in Austin. So definitely hit us up. We want to make sure that the NFT community grows along with the DeFi. Because I cover a lot of the DeFi news on like just everything that's going on over there. But I fundamentally love what's going on over there. But I also hate to see kind of the NFT scene taking such a big stumble in this moment. And I think that Terra DApp Expo in Austin will be a great opportunity for us to kind of just get everyone together and really be like, all right, let's get together and let's grow as fast as the DeFi side of the community is growing.
Yeah. Thank you, bro, for giving me the platform to like pick a dev's brains and more deep people that are entrenched in the behind the scenes part, because that's what I'm not educated on. I'm more in the community side, so I have way more insight now and it's given me a broader understanding. So just appreciate this live, bro.
Yeah, thank you so much, everyone. Thank you, Solo G, for joining. Thank you, Sachi. This has been an incredible time. Solo G, is there anything else you wanted to add?
I just want to know if anybody wants me to take a shot for them. I'm at the bar right now.
Oh, that's lovely. I think that is great for late night emergencies. I think you're doing a great job for the entire community.
I'm sacrificing my liver for you lunatics right now.
All for us. Thank you guys so much for joining. Tomorrow morning, Terabytes hosts a Saturday morning space. I think that is happening. Pete and Evan have yet to confirm if we're having that. They left me on red. But we will see you guys Saturday morning, maybe, typically hosted around 11 a.m. Eastern time. Thank you guys so much. We will keep growing. Maybe we can talk about this further. Take care, everyone.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the Terabytes Emergency Good Vibes NFT Space, recorded on Friday, April 29th, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. Sneaking through back alleys on a little cosplay. Broadway all day, looking like the wrong way. Resuscitating major players in the waiting room. Sifting through the paperwork while I be debating fools. Breaking rules, breaking bad, like we always wait for doom. Slayed a few in my early years off beneath the shroom. Sitting in the dark, waiting for the daily news to let us know what we should believe as the latest truth. Stay aloof, writing rhymes in the studio. Trying to keep it well lit like filming a movie role. Sorting through support from your endorsements. Of course, we're tripping balls, handing reports it. The latest proof ain't a way to move, change the view. Just a bunch of pack of heads living in a chicken coop. Picking at the dinner, finger licking like the plate is good. So kick it for a minute, then show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Big thinking energy always gets the best of me. When I kick it in the lab, messing with new recipes. Gotta mix and match, flip the latch, letting rhythm scratch. Dope shit, spitting facts with my vision smashed. Big trip aristocrats, dishing out a list of trash. Missing wisdom, this fish is too big to catch. Better let the missus know where you hit the stash. Watch your next step, bro, before you hit the traps. Walking on eggshells, tripping over landmines. And I'm about done dealing with these damn lies. Man, I'm looking at this planet like a franchise. Chastised into digging holes in the back nine. The latest proof ain't a way to move, chase a view. Just a bunch of peckerheads living in a chicken coop. Picking at the dinner, finger licking like the plate is good. So kick it for a minute, then show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Spaces.